Tonight, the urgent search for survivors after an apartment building collapses. Five people still unaccounted for after part of the six-story building came down in Davenport, Iowa. A woman pulled out alive after more than 24 hours. At least two people they believe still inside. Alex Perez on the scene for us and what they plan to do next. Also tonight, the mass shooting on a Florida beach. Families on the beach running for cover, some right into the water. Surveillance video showing the moment shots were fired. Nine people shot and wounded, including a one-year-old baby. Tonight, the 911 calls just released. Victor Oquendo in Florida. The president and the speaker with a deal to raise the debt ceiling tonight. Far-right members of the House furious, some threatening Kevin McCarthy's speakership. McCarthy will now need votes from Republicans and Democrats. Rachel Scott standing by with the bottom line tonight. Do they have the votes? Tonight, the Pentagon with alarming new images showing a Chinese fighter jet intercepting a U.S. reconnaissance plane. The Chinese jet cutting within 400 feet of the plane's nose. And there is also breaking news involving North Korea as we come on the air tonight. Martha Raddatz with late reporting on both stories. Also tonight, the war in Ukraine, and for the first time, it's believed, drones now attacking a residential area of Moscow, just 3 miles from one of Vladimir Putin's homes. What the White House is saying about this tonight. This evening, the late headline involving a member of the Manson family, a California appeals court upholding the parole of Manson family member Leslie Van Houten, convicted of murder and serving life in prison. So how soon could she be freed? Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes tonight beginning to serve her 11-year sentence in federal prison. What life will now be like, and Rebecca Jarvis reporting. Outside New York City, news tonight on the local councilwoman in New Jersey, shot while sitting in the driver's seat of her car. What authorities have just revealed. There is also news tonight about former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. And America Strong tonight, you have to see the last day of school for a beloved music teacher and the performance. Even he could not predict.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to be back with all of you at home. And we do begin tonight with the urgent search after the collapse of an apartment building in Davenport, Iowa. Five people are still unaccounted for tonight. They believe at least two of them are still missing inside. They were able to pull a woman out alive after more than 24 hours after the collapse. Members of that community tonight demanding they keep searching. After those initial calls coming in, first responders rushing to the scene, helping residents out. Canine units helping to look for any potential survivors. Then that discovery, more than 24 hours after the building came down, a woman appearing at a fourth floor window. Firefighters getting her out. Among the missing tonight, Brandon Colvin and Ryan Hitchcock. And this evening, what they might do next in this search, potentially turning to drones. ABC's Alex Perez leading us off on the scene in Iowa for us tonight.
Find them first!
Tonight in Davenport, Iowa, there are growing calls for authorities to keep searching this collapsed apartment building for residents who are still missing.
The frickin' building just collapsed.
Less than 24 hours after part of this building crumbled to the ground, rescue operations were called off after search dogs, drones, and thermal imaging found no signs of life. But tonight, an about-face, the city putting plans to demolish the building on hold. At an emotional press conference, officials now acknowledging five residents are unaccounted for, including Ryan Hitchcock and Brandon Colvin, who they believe are still in the building.
We're very sympathetic to the possibility that there's two people still left inside.
She is alive!
It comes hours after Lisa Brooks was finally able to reach her phone to call for help. Rescuers working up against an unsteady building to get her to safety.
I'm just so afraid that I was gonna die and don't see my kids, my grandkids.
Brandon Colvin's aunt wants crews to keep searching.
And up there where you see those clothes hanging neatly, that was his apartment.
Knowing that the city was considering demolishing this as early as today.
It's like burying them.
The cause of the collapse is now under investigation. The building had a history of complaints. And last week, this section of the exterior wall was being repaired.
And David, authorities say right now they're focusing on finding a safe way to conduct another search of the building. They're considering all options, including using drones. Now, several animals were rescued during a partial search this afternoon, but there were no signs of human activity during that search. David?
Yeah, we can see the really precarious situation there behind you. Alex, thank you. Now to the mass shooting at a Florida beach. Families running for cover, some running right into the water. The 911 calls just released tonight. This camera in Hollywood Beach capturing the moment the gunshots rang out, people running in terror. Nine people were shot and wounded on that beach, including a one-year-old child. One of at least 17 mass shootings over the Memorial Day weekend. ABC's Victor Kendo in Hollywood, Florida tonight, and we warn you, this is disturbing.
Tonight, the urgent manhunt for the gunman who opened fire along a crowded Florida beach, sending dozens of Memorial Day revelers running in terror. Five adults and four children shot, the youngest just 1 year old. And tonight, police releasing dramatic calls to 911.
Hey, there's people out here that just got shot in Hollywood Beach.
People are all hiding up against the walls. There's a bunch of little kids outside.
Authorities in Hollywood, north of Miami, now asking for the community's help to identify these three people they believed are involved in the shooting.
When you do something like this in broad daylight with CCTV cameras up and down our broadwalk, you will be identified and you will be caught and brought to justice.
Those cameras on the Hollywood Beach broadwalk catching the moment gunfire erupted Monday night, police say after an altercation between two groups.
I heard like, pop, 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 like about six, seven shots. Everybody start running.
Graphic video showing first responders and beachgoers treating the wounded. Kayla Puzon is pregnant and had to duck for cover.
You're 5 months pregnant. A shooting happens feet away from you. How scary was that?
Extremely scary. I was looking forward to being here next year with my own child, and now I have to question even coming here on the holidays.
Here in Hollywood, police have arrested two people, but they're still searching for three more. And tonight, the staggering death toll nationwide, 175 people shot and killed this holiday weekend. David?
That's just unbelievable. Victor Kendo tonight. Victor, thank you. Now to the deal reached to raise the debt ceiling. President Biden and Speaker McCarthy and their negotiators hammering out the deal to avoid a potentially catastrophic U.S. default. But of course, now the question, the deal must get through the House. Do they have the votes? Here's Rachel Scott.
Now that President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy have struck a deal to avoid a catastrophic default, the challenge, getting it through Congress. And tonight, fierce resistance from some of the most conservative House Republicans, the Freedom Caucus.
I want to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. Yes. Not one.
The two-year deal would claw back $30 billion in COVID relief, rescind $20 billion in IRS funding, end Biden's freeze on student loan repayments in August, and add new work requirements for some Americans on food assistance. Conservative Republicans say it doesn't go nearly far enough.
You read the bill?
Yeah.
And where do you stand?
It's a terrible bill. Plain and simple.
And you're a firm no?
Unless something changes on the bill, absolutely, I'm triple no.
You said that Republicans were outsmarted by Democrats.
Yeah, we got fleeced, 100%.
Some Republicans saying McCarthy himself should go. The speaker brushing it off.
What's your message to some of the holdouts, Republicans who say that Republicans were outsmarted in this deal?
That's interesting. So how were we outsmarted? The largest cut in the history of Congress, the biggest ability to pull money back.
Tonight, at least 25 House Republicans say they will vote against the bill, which means McCarthy will need Democratic votes to get it over the finish line. But House progressives aren't sold.
Many progressives, including me, lean no because the bill does contain taking some folks like 53 and 54-year-olds off of their food stamps.
The president has been personally working the phones. Senior administration officials will be here on Capitol Hill tomorrow trying to address any last-minute concerns. The House is expected to vote on that bill tomorrow evening, and leaders are confident they have the votes. David.
We'll see, and you'll be there. Rachel Scott tonight, thank you. This evening, the Pentagon has now released alarming new images, a Chinese fighter jet coming within 400 feet of a U.S. reconnaissance plane. You're about to see the images, the Pentagon calling this all unnecessarily aggressive. Here's Martha Raddatz.
The U.S. has seen an alarming increase in confrontations with Chinese aircraft, and this over the South China Sea, caught on camera. This military video showing U.S. Air Force pilots watching the Chinese fighter jet rapidly approach, then roar past the U.S. reconnaissance plane within 400 feet of its nose, forcing it to bounce through the turbulence of the fighter jet's wake. U.S. Indo-Pacific Command calling the Chinese maneuver in international airspace unnecessarily aggressive. A senior defense official saying they do not believe these actions are rogue pilots acting independently, but rather part of a wider pattern of aggressive intercepts in the region.
Martha Raddatz with us now. And Martha, of course, in addition to this concern involving Chinese jets, there's also breaking news tonight coming in about North Korea, a new launch.
Yes, David, the North Koreans had said they were going to launch a satellite, but the Japanese government sent warnings that North Korea may have launched a test missile and urged people in Okinawa to take shelter immediately. The U.S. Embassy in Japan repeated those warnings. In Seoul, South Korea, warnings were given over public address systems and phones telling people to evacuate, but later said that was sent in error. And so far, no reports of damages or disruption. David?
All right, we'll track it into the evening. Martha, thank you. Now to the war in Ukraine tonight, and for the first time, it's believed, drones are now striking residential areas in Moscow, one striking near one of Vladimir Putin's homes. Tonight, the White House reacting to this, and ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Ukraine again for us.
Tonight, Russia promising the toughest possible response after a wave of explosive drones hit a wealthy district of Moscow. Explosions only 3 miles from President Putin's country residence. Here, a drone clearly visible. Russia saying there were 8 in total. These videos circulating online, this one appearing to show Moscow's air defense in action, shooting most of them down. A Ukrainian official suggesting it's now not just Ukraine that can be bombarded by drones. Russian President Vladimir Putin calling it a terrorist attack. Waves of Russian missiles and drones striking Kyiv 3 nights running. This apartment blown away, a woman killed, with fighting escalating on the front lines.
We're with a Ukrainian tank brigade. Their tanks are hidden in the trees just back from the front lines. We can hear intense artillery fire not far from here. And these guys are waiting for the command to move.
Ukraine getting ready for a major offensive.
And David, on that drone attack on Moscow, the Biden administration saying we do not support attacks inside Russia, but also emphasizing Ukraine is under constant attack and Moscow can end the war by withdrawing its forces from Ukraine. David?
Tom Sufi Burridge in Ukraine again for us. Tom, thank you. Meantime, back here in the U.S. tonight, late news today involving a member of the Manson family, a California appeals court upholding the parole of Manson family member Leslie Van Houten. How soon could she go free? Here's Matt Gutman tonight.
Tonight, the California Appeals Court upholding Manson family member Leslie Van Houten's parole, which could come as early as this week. Van Houten had been part of a crew that murdered Leno and Rosemary LaBianca in the sweltering summer of 69 for no reason other than Charles Manson ordered them to. The LaBianca murder was grisly and came just a day after the murder of pregnant actress Sharon Tate and 4 others in her Hollywood Hills home. Manson distanced himself from the murders in this memorable 1994 interview with Diane Sawyer.
I never told anybody to do anything other than what they wanted to do.
And if they wanted to do murder, that was okay with you?
That was none of my business, woman. I'm a convict. I'm an outlaw. I'm a rebel. I'm not a Sunday school teacher.
Manson had convinced his cult known as the Manson family that a race war was coming, inspired by the Beatles song Helter Skelter. Since then, Van Houten had been granted parole 5 times, each rejected by a California governor. The appeals court writing Governor Newsom's latest refusal amounts to unsupported intuition that Van Houten might reoffend.
Leslie looked deep inside herself and saw what got her there. She led a lot of the rehabilitative programs, a lot of inmates who got released, and that's always the first step in turning the corner and moving forward.
David, her attorney tells us he expects California's attorney general to petition the state Supreme Court to block her appeal. Still, he says he expects her to be released even as early as this week as the court completes its review, which means that Leslie Van Houten could be out of prison for the first time in half a century.
David.
Matt Gubman tonight. Matt, thank you. This evening, Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes is spending her first night in federal prison. The former billionaire reporting to prison in Texas, sentenced to 11 years for defrauding investors. Rebecca Jarvis tonight on what life will now be like for Holmes.
Tonight, Elizabeth Holmes, the disgraced founder of Theranos, behind bars in this Texas federal prison.
Ms. Holmes!
There goes Elizabeth Holmes.
The mother of two young children, both under the age of two, accompanied by her parents and partner Billy Evans, hugging him right before surrendering at the all-women's minimum security prison to begin her 11-year sentence. 39-year-old Holmes facing a different way of life behind bars. She'll swap her token black turtlenecks for a khaki uniform. And her first work assignment will be kitchen duty for 12 cents an hour. And any sense of privacy will be gone. She'll live in tight quarters with other inmates.
She's going to make her bed. She's going to go to her job. And she is going to repeat every day.
The one-time billionaire found guilty of criminal fraud in January 2022 for conning investors out of millions with her false and misleading claims that she could run hundreds of tests on just a few drops of blood.
And David, Elizabeth Holmes is appealing that conviction but must remain in prison during her fight. Meantime, she and her former boyfriend and COO Sonny Balwani, who was also found guilty, must pay victims $452 million for their fraud.
David? Covering it from the start, Rebecca Jarvis, our thanks to you again tonight. Now to former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Tonight, the family's very personal reveal. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami now.
She was still in the White House more than 40 years ago when she was trying to get the world to think of mental health issues like any other disease. And tonight, she's continuing that work with news of her own, that the former First Lady, Rosalynn Carter, has dementia. In a statement, the Carter Center says she continues to live happily at home with her husband, enjoying spring.
She is living the lesson of destigmatizing, taking care of yourself, caregivers, mental health, and the discomfort that people feel when they need to approach this.
She's testified more than once before Congress, talking about the support that caregivers need when they have family suffering from dementia.
The stress of caring for a person with dementia negatively impacts the caregiver's immune system for up to 3 years after caregiving ends.
Theirs is a love story, and their last interview together was this one on their 75th wedding anniversary. Number 77 is in July.
Staying with me all this long has been the most wonderful thing in my life.
He's pretty wonderful in my life, too.
The former president is now the longest living U.S. president, and the people here at the Carter Center say that he is still under hospice care at home. But his family says that it is looking very likely that he will make it to see his next birthday in October with his wife by his side. David?
Let's hope so. The country thinking about the Carters tonight, and Steve, thank you. When we come back on this Monday night outside New York City, the councilwoman in New Jersey shot while sitting in her car, this case and what authorities have just revealed about it.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight news, a suspect is now under arrest in the murder of a local councilwoman in Sayreville, New Jersey. Police say Eunice Jumfor was shot and killed in her car in February after dropping someone off. Rashid Ali Bynum arrested in Chesapeake, Virginia this morning. Authorities say they knew each other from church, surveillance showing him running from the scene. Her phone records helped lead to his arrest. When we come back here tonight, the search for a passenger falling overboard on a cruise ship off the U.S. coast.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
To the index in the U.S. Coast Guard tonight is searching for a passenger who fell overboard from a Carnival cruise ship off Jacksonville, Florida. The company says video shows he was leaning over the railing of his balcony, the Carnival Magic, returning to port in Norfolk, Virginia, just today. When we come back here tonight, the music teacher, his last day and the performance, even he could not see coming. Finally tonight here, Mr. Stanley's Opus. Jim Stanley is a music teacher at Cartersville High School in Cartersville, Georgia, outside Atlanta. He first walked into this school 28 years ago. Now comes retirement, but he started asking some of his former students if they'd like to gather for one final performance. But he had no idea generations would show up.
Ooh, I am left to ease wide world.
Nearly 100 alumni all singing together, all for Mr. Stanley. Right here tonight.
Hey, David.
The students, Nick Wharton.
He's extremely inspirational.
Maggie Kuhn.
He chose to stay in a small town and change the lives of thousands of small town students just like me.
Margaret Conley.
When I think about Mr. Stanley, I think about the word impactful.
Hey, David.
Jenny Weaver and her son, Smith.
He truly did change all of our lives.
He values, connections, and relationships.
Hey, David!
Braylon, Sammy, Bella, and Tatum.
He means the absolute world to us.
Sometimes I just don't know.
And the soloist, Lisa Douglas.
He was brilliant then, he's brilliant now, and he forever will be brilliant.
Tonight, the new scholarship in Mr. Stanley's name already raising thousands on GoFundMe. Tonight.
Hi, David.
Mr. Stanley.
I think it was a special experience that speaks to the impact that music has in all of our lives. It's been so meaningful and made such an impression on so many. Thanks, David.
Thank you. The power of our teachers. And congratulations, Mr. Stanley. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.